Welcome to the Undivided Podcast with Dr. Chris Crane. Dr. Crane is the Executive Director of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. The BMBA exists with the mission to encourage, equip, and engage the community for the glory of God.
Welcome to the podcast today. My name is Chris Crane, and I have in the studio two very special guests, Rob Paul and Bill Sears, and they are from Huffman Baptist Church. So welcome to the podcast, gentlemen.
Thank you, Chris.
Good to be here, Chris.
It's an honor to have you both, and I've been intrigued about what God is doing through you guys at Huffman Baptist Church. We're a podcast from the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association, and Huffman is a significant church and has been for many years in this fellowship association network of churches. So I'm excited about what God is doing at Huffman right now. So Rob, would you mind just sharing with us a little bit about Huffman? Tell us about the history and what kind of church Huffman is.
Sure. So when I was a kid growing up in South Alabama, I had family that lived in the Birmingham area. And so when we came to visit them, they lived in South Roebuck. So the Huffman Roebuck area is where we would come. And I remember Huffman when it would have been considered a mini mega church. And, you know, knowing Huffman now, we have the buildings to prove that that Huffman was once a mini mega church. As the neighborhood began to change, as Trustful began to grow, Huffman Baptist Church began to decline a little bit. And so I came in 2019 specifically for the purpose of church revitalization, and it's been a ride.
Well, we're glad you're there. And for some of our listeners, Trustful is sort of that next great suburb that's come out of the east side of Birmingham. And it's grown a lot, so a lot of folks have moved in that direction. And I'm glad that you're revitalizing, working to revitalize the church. And you have someone, a partner in ministry here, who's come alongside you to support you. Bill, what is your role at Huffman?
Oh, that's always a good question. What if, whatever he wants. But I mean, just to work with our partners, help be the keeper of the vision and set tone and direction to impact and influence the northeast side of Birmingham.
That's fantastic. So you mentioned partners. That seems to be an integral strategy to your revitalization process. So Bill, what is partnership? What does it look like? Just share with us what you're talking about when you help with the partners.
Well, I think as much as anything else, I think it was birthed out of the vision that the pastor has had. And I think to get it started and talk about the principles and things that brought it all together, I think, Rob, you'd be better suited to kind of share some of that.
Yeah, so when I first got to Huffman in summer of 2019, we have a building that was built to house about 1,500 to 2,000 people. We, at the time, if everybody showed up on the same Sunday, probably would have had 200 folks that were active members. So a large portion of our facility was shut down. We had two complete buildings that were totally shuttered. And so I'm walking the property one day and just praying, saying, Lord, what do you want us to do with this? You know, how do we take these buildings that you gave as a blessing that were intended to be an asset, but right now are a liability for us? How do we move them out of the liability column and put them in the asset column? How do we leverage these buildings to reach our community? And so, you know, just thinking through, I believe that your church's address is no accident. Huffman was started 114 years ago, and while those people had no idea what the neighborhood would look like now, what the situation of the church would be right now, God knew. And so it became my prayer became, okay, Lord, how do we make a difference in this community? And how do we use these buildings to make a difference in the community? And so as I began to develop vision, as God gave that to me, partnership came to mind. And we had already had an African-American church plant that was on our campus. We weren't really ministry partners at that time. In fact, the pastor told me, he said, kind of feel like we're a tenant. And I said, well, you kind of are a tenant. Let's move that from being a tenant to being a ministry partner. And so as we thought through that and began to develop that partnership, God said, well, what if you could also impact other churches in revitalization, in being an incubator for church plants. So we began to think in that direction. But then also, when you have a church that is not completely engaged in the community, how do we do that? How do we leverage relationships? And so just began to think about, well, what if we worked with other ministries that are doing ministry? And so we put together a vision in January of 2020, right before COVID hit, that we wanted to have partnerships with at least five churches by 2025, and we wanted to have partnerships with at least five ministries that were doing ministry in Northeast Birmingham by 2025. So the vision was there. And as we kind of developed what that looked like, there were three questions that I asked this time last year. I asked Bill Sears if he would be willing to come alongside us for a short period of time, whatever that looked like. Didn't know what that meant. We didn't define short, just to kind of help us. I asked the church, what are you willing to risk in order to reach the next generation? And I asked the Lord, would you send us one family from the community? And so that kind of fast forwards us to January of this past year when Bill came on, and you can kind of take that wherever you want to.
Yeah, we want to hear the kind of the feet on the ground. How does this practically work, Bill?
Well, to tell you the truth, I didn't want to be there. but Rob has said, just come help me part-time, short-time, and like he said, whatever that looks like. Wouldn't tell me anything about the church, you know, which kind of drove me crazy. He said, I just want you to come, get an honest evaluation. I want your snapshot. I want to know what you think. And I said, well, that'd be a first for a pastor. To really want to know what I think.
Because you're an experienced executive pastor. So
yeah, I've been in a few places. It's hard to hold down a job. but in the midst of that, I can remember after being there a month, he comes to me and says, what do you think? And I said, well, I'm here for a season. That's the way I responded to him. And his response to that was, oh, okay, fine, and just begins to walk off. And so I stopped him. I said, I need to ask you one question. What about this place excites you? Because it didn't excite me. I'll just put it that way.
Well, and I think that particular week we had just had a Sunday where the heat didn't work. Attendance was down. It was a gloomy Sunday. I mean, it was, yeah.
And so out of that, the Lord began to work in my life, and through a couple of series of events, finally one morning while I was walking, it was a voice that was louder than audible. You know exactly what I'm talking about, Chris.
Yes, and, absolutely.
And he goes, Bill, let me ask you a question.
Now, this is the Lord, not me.
It's the Lord. No, it's no. I said the Lord. Never mind. Don't say it, Bill. And and he goes, who defines what a season is, Bill? And I went, well, you do, God. And who defines what a season looks like? I said, you do, God. And who defines the length of a season? I went, you do, God. And so he said, be where your feet are. So from that point forward, I began to walk on the campus, whether it was Sunday, walk amongst the people, and with my eyes open, okay, God, what are you showing? What's going on here? And there was already one ministry partner that was part of our church in a small area who needed more space, and that was Danny Brister with Elevate, which does a great job within the public school systems, teaching character development and leadership qualities from a biblical perspective. And he was expanding his staff and needed more space. And through a series of conversations, we've decided we'll put them on this third floor and create a floor for ministry partners that are like-minded, that are community-focused. And but he's walking through the E building, which was built in the mid-60s, that had basically been vacated except for the chapel on the bottom floor, which Kingdom Family was utilizing. And he made a comment that, man, a school could go here, which I agreed. He said, Banks Academy, a private Christian high school, is looking for a new space. Mm-hmm. Now, we're at the beginning of February, and I'm thinking they're looking for a new space. They need to make that decision soon. So I said, set up a meeting. That's all I said to him. The next week, we come to Monday, and I walked into Danny's office, and I said, have you set up a meeting with Banks Academy? He said, well, I thought we'd get our space taken care of first. And I went, let's do both at the same time. So that Thursday, the president of the board, the principal, and the dean of students all show up on our campus to walk through the building. And 13 days from that point, and Rob can probably speak to this better exactly what that means, but 13 days from that day, our administrative leadership team signed a memorandum of understanding for them to become ministry partners with us.
Wow. What a great story of God's leadership and your life and an incredible vision the Lord gave you, Rob. And as I think about Huffman today, I don't know, I have to give things titles so that I can get my mind around it, but I see it as sort of revitalization through partnership and engaging the community. But I look at what you lay out for ministry partner alignment. So could you talk about that a little bit, Rob? What does it mean to be a ministry partner, and then how do you determine if a potential partner is in alignment with the vision you have for Huffman?
Sure. So early on, when we began thinking about engaging with ministry partners, in fact, I think you had sent a potential partner our way, and we were in conversation with that organization. And I began to think, we've got to have some way of making sure that this is a fit. So we developed some partnership principles to make sure we are in alignment, beginning with theological alignment. Not everybody we work with is Southern Baptist. We are. And so what we ask of them is that you read the Baptist Faith and Message. You don't have to agree with every point, but that you're in general agreement, that you're not going to do something that goes against what we believe. And we would be willing, if we had a current ministry partner that did fall out of alignment theologically, we would be willing to address that, even to the point of severing the relationship if we needed to. So we looked for, beginning with theological alignment, we wanted ministry alignment. In other words, we're not in the real estate business. We weren't just inviting people onto our campus so they had a space. We want our people to be able to engage in whatever that ministry is. We want to be able to do things together. And so that's important. We work toward that end. We wanted financial alignment. In other words, we're not looking to make money, but let's look at what our resources are. Let's look at what the organization's resources are. And then let's equitably share the cost of what we're doing in that community. So we ask for reimbursements, not for rent. We don't charge rent. Then the last one is communication alignment. We meet together as an executive leadership team. All of the executive directors, the pastors, meet together once a month just to make sure we're on the same page. Let's coordinate. Let's think. Let's make sure we're all talking to each other. Try to have lunch on a regular basis so that we're all in what I call a symbiotic kind of relationship.
That's incredible. As I think about what you're doing, I think of so many other churches that have more facilities than they need, even if their worship attendance hasn't changed or gone down. I think, Bill, you could address this. We have in the past built more buildings than we need today. We built those in the past based on other ministry models. So is that what you see, kind of a trend toward doing more with less as far as facilities go?
Oh, yeah, there's no doubt that, you go back 20, 30, 40 years ago, that the model was build what you need, whether you use it once or twice a week, that's all. But we've got a generation coming behind us that's probably challenging us to be a better steward of the resources God gives us, so that don't build something if we're only going to use it once a week. We need to be able to use it multiple times a week. Also, we need to get outside those four walls and be in the community, or bring the community into what we have or what God has given us. Now, that doesn't mean those who have already built these facilities that they just need to abandon them. They need to continue to do the things to maximize it, because buildings are nothing more than a tool which can be used in the hand of God to make a difference and an impact. And I think there's been times in the past we as churches, and I've been part of those churches, and I've led churches to help do those type of things. You know, it was the scoreboard of success. You know, the three B's, as I've always heard it said.
Yes, I'm familiar with that. And but even the business world, you have the triple bottom line. You want to recognize your people as a resource, your profits or your resources as far as money, but also sustainability. And so what you're doing by reclaiming the space that the Lord has provided for you, Rob, is attractive to an emerging generation. You're being sustainable, you're using that building, you're engaging the community, you're building an ecosystem for the neighborhood that represents the kingdom of God. How do you feel about all that?
I'm having more fun than I ought to have. It's for us to intentionally seek to be a multicultural church. There aren't very many of those in the city. There are churches that are, but for us, it's intentional. We are seeking to do that. And to do that in the way that we are with these ministry partners, so that we're making, or at least have the potential to make a difference in the life of a student educationally, whether it's at Banks Academy or through our other ministry partners doing work in the public schools, that could change their life and their future, but then also to make an eternal difference. We next Tuesday afternoon, we will be baptizing at least four students from Banks Academy on Tuesday afternoon. So, you know, there's that impact, there's that influence. We've brought on staff members to be able to disciple those students that we have the opportunity to reach. And that is attractive, as Bill said, to the next generation. We actually launched a young adult Sunday school class 2 weeks ago for parents of school-age children and preschoolers. And that first Sunday, that was an impact of 21 people between the adults and their children. And these are people that are coming to Huffman from all over the city just because they're like, we like what we see happening there. So I think it's, you know, just from my perspective, when he asked me the question last year, what excites you about this place? My answer was the potential. Well, I think we're beginning to see the potential realized. We're not there yet, but we're beginning to see it. And that is exciting.
Well, this has been an incredible discussion. And I know there are, even in our tribe, the SBC world, Southern Baptist, there are 45,000 churches. 80% of those are in a situation where they need to think about the future. They're either declining or they've seen better days. And so you guys are a model. So I want to encourage everyone to look in the show notes, and we'll have some contact information. If you need some wisdom or insight from Rob or Bill, they'd be glad to reach back out to you via email. So make sure you connect with them. And I want to thank everyone for listening today.
Thank you for listening to Undivided, a podcast of the Birmingham Metro Baptist Association. For more information on the association and to sign up for our newsletter, please visit bmbaonline.org as we seek to encourage, engage, and equip others in the Great Commission of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.